W252DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Buckingham Palace says King Charles has been diagnosed with a form of cancer and has started treatment. The palace is only saying that the cancer is not related to Charles's recent treatment for a benign prostate condition. White House officials say the U.S. will take more action against Iran-backed militants in the Mideast in response to that deadly attack on U.S. troops in Jordan.
We should all understand the limits of the military element of national power. It can be successful in disrupting these attacks against U.S. troops, but it's going to take a combination of military action and diplomacy to get it to stop.
Retired Army General and ABC News contributor Robert Abrams. A Michigan jury is deliberating involuntary manslaughter charges against Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of high school shooter Ethan Crumbly. Over a million people in the L.A. area are under flash flood warnings as that atmospheric river continues to pound Southern California. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man convicted of pepper spraying police officers during the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol argues he should get a shorter sentence. Federal prosecutors say 41 months in prison is appropriate, but lawyers for Riley Casper of Pulaski say he's matured over the last 3 years. Casper is set to be sentenced tomorrow. Democratic presidential primary voters in Wisconsin will have a choice after the state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to appear on the April ballot. Phillips says the justice has made the right call for democracy.
It's so much less about my campaign and just so much more about how we Americans practice democracy and whether we should allow our two big parties to suppress it.
Phillips on WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. A child care center on Green Bay's east side has lost its license after officials found more than a half dozen violations, including illegal drug dealing. Online records show the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families revoked the license of Green Bay Academy on Finger Road Thursday. Of the seven violations, two involved drugs. The center also had illegal staff-to-child ratios, group sizes, and mixed-age groups. Records show two dozen violations going back to June of 2023. Waupaca County Sheriff's deputies are asking the public for help in solving a hit-and-run crash that injured a pedestrian last week. They say it happened on County Highway W near New London High School Thursday night. The vehicle is either a car or a smaller dark-colored SUV with front-end damage. The sheriff's office says it wants to hear from anyone with information. Officials are not making the condition of the pedestrian public. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a three-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number 2-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball. And you know, I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones. And you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild as high temperatures flirt with 40 degrees. We'll see more patchy dense fog building in tonight, and some areas may turn to freezing fog early tomorrow morning. We'll become partly sunny throughout the afternoon and mild once again as highs climb to the low 40s. Right now, it's 30.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct. I'm Todd Allball filling in for Matt this first hour. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke until and unless you know history. As Matt likes to remind us, history being made every minute of every day, and boy howdy, a lot of it being made over this past weekend, but more on that later. Right now, we're going to do something a little different than the norm here in Matt's show. We are pre-recorded in all fullness and fair disclosure, pre-recorded this show. And so since we're not live, a rare instance where we're not going to take your calls today on Matt Flynn Direct here in the first hour, what I thought we would do is bring you another program, or at least the insight into a new program here on Civic Media and an episode that Matt talks something a lot about on this show, and that is independence. Matt has been outspoken and said, look, you know, he's a two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. But he said, look, we need a strong two-party system here. And he's talked about principled conservatives, talked about guys like Teddy Roosevelt, was a Republican, and then, of course, ran as a progressive, as an independent. And so there's a new program now airing on the weekends here on Civic Media called Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug. Scott Klug, in full disclosure, one of my former bosses, former United States Congressman Scott Klug. And Klug was in office in the early, actually the early to late 90s, 1990s in Wisconsin. Some of you won't believe this, but he was a Republican, a moderate Republican, a pro-choice Republican. Yes, they existed at the time, and also was one of the few moderate Republicans to vote for the Clinton assault weapons ban in the 1990s. And he has started a new podcast called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. And it's a great podcast. Mr. Zommer is filling in for Kelvin today on the board, and Mr. Zommer, you and I have the pleasure of working with Scott on this podcast. It's a lot of fun, and I think it speaks to a lot of the people that Matt Flynn speaks to, which are people that say, you know, none of them are any good sometimes, and we get frustrated all the way around.
Yeah, there's something that a lot of people in America talk about, and Scott references it in a few episodes on the podcast, from interviews with people who run focus groups, and right. A lot of people consider themselves common sense voters. And so this podcast is for you if you consider yourself a common sense voter. Yeah. And this particular episode really lays out the history of independent candidates and the very, very few times they've been successful and what you need for it to be successful and why any of the independent candidates running right now, they don't have. You need, I think there were three things, and I don't think any of them even have two.
No. And you hit on history, and of course, history is something that nobody does better than Matt Flynn, and so I think it's also in the vein of Matt Flynn and doing, you know, continuing to talk about his messages of knowing history. So instead of the norm, this first half hour on our first hour on Matt Flynn Direct, we're going to bring you this program again, Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans with Scott Klug. We'll kind of interrupt it to take our normal breaks, and then Mr. Zomer and I will be back at the end. So you're listening to Matt Flynn Direct here on Civic Media, and here now, the one of the episodes from the new show called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans with Scott Klug, airing every Saturday after the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens from 1 until 2. We'll be back in a little while, but enjoy right now, Lost in the Middle.
Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance, safeguarding the dream of property ownership. Episode 3, Broken Hearts, Lessons from Third Party Runs for President, and a Bad High School Date.
Well, I guess we had a different idea of a great date. You know, this song clearly doesn't sync with my dating days, but you get the idea. Hell, everybody else is cashing in on Taylor Swift. We might as well do it too. She wanted a quiet, romantic night together. But then I told my high school girlfriend we were headed to the crowded arena in downtown Milwaukee. She assumed it must have been a concert, right? Given the times, maybe Eric Clapton, The Doors, or the Strawberry Alarm Clock. Yeah, that really was a band, and they really did have one hit. Parking was hard to come by that night, and so were the tickets. It was a rally for independent candidate for president George Wallace. At that time, the Alabama governor was drawing huge crowds with speeches on overreach by the federal government, a tough-on-crime message, and picking fights with Vietnam protesters.
Well, I want to say this much. Let me say this much. Any of you anarchists in Georgia or California, wherever you happen to be, you better have your day now, because after November 5th, you are through in this country, I get it.
Now, let's be clear. Very clear in large capital letters. I was not a George Wallace supporter. I was just there to people watch. And he was polling above 20% at the time. The energy in the arena that night was pulsating. He rallied 7,000 loud supporters with a long list of grievances. In those early heady days of political campaigns, optimism flows like beer at a pregame tailgate party.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Like teenage romance. It's all seashells and balloons. It was the first serious third-party candidacy since Teddy Roosevelt nearly six decades earlier. But in the end, third-party runs and high school crushes usually end in heartbreak. The Wallace campaign soon flamed out, and so did my date to the prom. It would be 25 years before Ross Perot launched the next serious challenge to the two major parties. And now, another three decades later, another independent run seems afoot, with 70% of the American public saying it has zero interest in a Trump-Biden rematch. I'm Scott Klug. I've been an Emmy Award-winning reporter, a four-term member of Congress, and a federal lobbyist. And like a huge swath of the American public, I'm lost in the middle. This 14-part podcast explains how we got into this mess, where the extremes now pass for the normal. And we're going to try to understand when politics turned into a blood sport and gleefully point the fingers at some of the people we think are to blame. And we'll offer up some green shoots of hope on how America can turn it all around.
How many of you wish that neither Trump nor Biden were running in 2024? And that both parties select a nominee from the next generation of candidates? Wow, I didn't even finish asking the question. And all five of you.
Oh, please.
Okay.
That's our friend Rich Thau asking voters in Georgia about the upcoming presidential race. He does focus groups around the country talking to swing voters.
I want you to imagine that in next year's election, you have three choices: Biden, Trump, and an independent moderate candidate who has the financial resources to run a competitive race. By a show of fingers, who'd seriously consider that third candidate? Well, all five of you would.
What you hear in that focus group is what pollsters are hearing all across the country. There's a wind blowing across America. potentially at the back of an independent candidate. Nearly 50% of voters say they would strongly consider pulling that lever. But is that a howling wind of rage or just a tiny little summer breeze, people bored with Trump and Biden? Here's four names for you. You might want to write them down. Rocky De La Fuente, Don Blankenship, Brock Pierce, and Brian Carroll. So is this the starting infield for the New York Mets? Members of a rock band that your kids listen to that you've never heard of? Authors in the Oprah Book Club? Or four subjects of a Dateline murder mystery? Well, they're actually presidential candidates. And in some states, remember that phrase, some states, they were on the ballot in 2020. Respectively, the Alliance, the Constitution, the Independent, and the American Solidarity parties all averaged about 60,000 votes. And to keep this in perspective, in my last congressional campaign, I got 155,000 votes. But this year, it just might be different.
No labels, it's not nothing. They've got about nearly a $70 million operation going right now. They intend to be on the ballot in all 50 states. They have a convention in Dallas next April where they could announce that potential Republican-Democrat ticket. This is a big operation. This could be a real player if they, in fact, they do go forward with this plan. Listen to just a few of the New Hampshire voters here we met here today on the ground.
We need someone in the middle. You know, the issue is one extremist versus another extremist, and no one's ever going to agree if we just keep picking the extremes.
No, I need somebody else.
That is not Biden or Trump.
Right.
No Labels is a sophisticated bipartisan Washington political organization that's been around since 2011. Its claim to fame is the Problem Solvers Caucus, a coalition of Republicans and Democrats that helped pass the infrastructure bill. Its founder, Nancy Jacobson, was a longtime Democratic staffer and operative.
Wanted to finally try, if I could, to build with others, other leaders, a movement for the center. And I was, you know, so many people laughed at us and so many people dissuaded us and so many people said it could never, ever be done, that the center was not the place that had any passion or willingness to be part of a movement. But I stayed at it.
Now faced with a Trump-Biden rematch and sensing the bitter national mood, No Labels is flirting with a rumored Republican-Democrat unity ticket. Names kicked around in the press include Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, former Republican Governors Larry Hogan and John Huntsman, and current independent senator and one-time Democrat Kyrsten Sinema.
About 18 months ago, a bunch of leaders within our movement and also citizens across the country were, you know, starting to talk, and there was an observation that it could be a rematch race with Trump-Biden. So that was 18 months ago with citizens, with our leaders, you know, so many conversations of people. And we just felt that we called it an insurance policy. We call it an insurance policy today because it's not definite that this happens.
Interestingly, younger voters are taking notice of a possible independent run. We talked to a group of recent college graduates in New England. Here's Lena.
I definitely feel like over the past 10 years, American politics have definitely gotten more extremely polarized. So there's like extremes on both ends. But I feel like, especially being portrayed in the media as well, we're not seeing as many moderate Democrats or moderate Republicans.
I think that the current state of the country is quite disappointing, and it's sad. Someone that has studied political science and someone that hopes to one day run for office, I think it's really, I would go as far as saying disgusting.
You're listening to Matt Flynn, direct of the Civic Media Radio Network. We are we're giving a special program of Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug on this show, but we have more of the program after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt Flynn, direct on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Todd Alball filling in for Matt today. We are bringing you a special episode, a new podcast that airs on the weekends here on Civic Media on Saturdays after the Cripes cast with Charlie Behrens from 1 until 2. This is Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug. We pick up this special episode on independence. You're listening to Matt Flynn Direct.
And someone that hopes to one day run for office, I think it's really, I would go as far as saying disgusting that we can't sit at a table and talk about things without being at each other's throat.
That's Alejandro. Before we get carried away, let's take a plunge into a cold bath of political reality. Remember all those obscure independent candidates we introduced you to just a couple of minutes ago? Most of them never made it to qualifying in 20 states, some far fewer. Want to launch a national campaign from ground zero like No Labels is talking about? Well, this was exactly the challenge handed to Teresa Amato, a young Chicago activist picked to run the Ralph Nader campaign in 2000.
I got a call asking if I would be interested in running his presidential campaign. And I explained that, you know, I hadn't run any, you know, campaign since student council, and much less a presidential one. And that I would, you know, be interested in trying.
First on her list, how in the hell to get on every state ballot?
The first thing and the most important thing is that a candidate for president of the United States, be it an independent or a third party candidate, has to get on the ballot in 50 states in the District of Columbia. So you have 51 different sets of rules, which means 51 different kinds of petitions, 51 sets of rules for the electors that would be voting for the candidate in the Electoral College. And it is a massive spreadsheet of details of everything from what time the petitions have to be turned in, when you can start, what color paper, what has to be on the face of the paper, whether you can call yourself an independent or you have to call yourself unaffiliated or not affiliated or whatever. The state legislatures, predominantly dominated by the two major parties, concoct to make it a complete hazing process for independents and minor parties to become ballot certified.
It's the reason so many of those obscure presidential candidates I introduced you to topped out in 20-ish states. In the four most populous states in the country, New York and California, Texas and Florida have the worst rules. Why would that be? Well, they're the two most important states for Democrats and the two most important for Republicans.
All the leaves are brown, all the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
In California, you need 196,000 valid signatures to get on the ballot. Texas, 113,000. If you belong to a major party, that's really not an issue. They've got party organizations in virtually every county in the country. But if you're No Labels with 20,000 members nationally and likely just a scattering of people in a few states, it's a daunting task. And remember, those 196,000 signatures, the valid signatures in California, means you better collect a quarter of a million. And here's another person who had to learn all those crazy rules very quickly. Russ Verney was Ross Perot's campaign manager.
We challenged some state laws. I think they're all, for the most part, they're absolutely terrible. They're strictly designed to keep competition from the incumbents. They're written by the incumbents, so they're pretty effective.
And let's see if you can pull that off, right, and get in on all 50 states. Then you get on the stage in the presidential debate, right? Nope. The U.S. does not tolerate antitrust behavior in the economic system, but sadly it does in the political world. If Walmart and Amazon colluded, the Justice Department would sue to stop the monopoly. But in politics, it's boldly called the Presidential Debate Commission.
Many people think that the League of Women Voters still runs the presidential debates because once upon a time they did, and quite well for quite a while. But then the two parties, and it was led by the head of the Democratic Party and the head of the Republican Party, got together and created initially a bipartisan, then they realized they had to be nonpartisan commission on presidential debates. The commission says it has objective rules for who gets to participate. And in the two elections I ran in 2000 and 2004 for Ralph Nader, those rules consisted of you had to have 15% of ratings in five different polls that they determined. Getting on the commission on the Commission on Presidential Debates stage is what allows people to get to 15%, because then the public can hear you.
And next year is going to be even more complicated. After the contentious 2020 debates, no one knows who's running the debates in 2024. So let's say, for the sake of an argument, No Labels gets on all 50 ballots. It's only on 10 as I write this. But now for a reality check. Only three times in American history has an independent candidate gathered enough momentum to be a credible presidential candidate. To be successful, a winning candidate needs charisma, organization, and be riding the crest of a wave.
This podcast is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance. Our country recognizes home ownership as one of the best ways to build wealth and stable communities. But over the years, support for home ownership has dwindled, and our leaders have lost sight of its value. We're working to change that. The American Property Owners Alliance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that holds our leaders accountable to safeguard homeowners and communities. Visit PropertyOwnersAlliance.org to learn more and find out how you can join our efforts.
Enter Teddy Roosevelt, arguably the most charismatic president in U.S. history, who came to office when President McKinley was assassinated. American University professor Alan Lichtman.
He was a maverick Republican, as we know, a reformer, a progressive. Republican establishment hated him when he was governor of New York. So Boss Platt of New York said, let's put him in the most useless position possible. We'll make him William McKinley's vice president. And Mark Hanna, McKinley's campaign manager, warned, do you want that crazy cowboy one heartbeat from the presidency? Nobody listened. He became vice president, and then the cowboy became president.
After completing McKinley's term, he handily won re-election with 57%. You know, he captured the American imagination with the sheer force of his personality. He'd been a war hero with the Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. He loved the West and created the National Park System. The son of an affluent banker in Manhattan, he bucked his own social class, filing antitrust cases against the New York power brokers, many of whom he'd grown up with. He easily could have won again. Remember, there was no two-term rule at this time. Instead, he walked away and handed the White House to William Howard Taft, his hand-picked successor. But after a two-year African trip, followed by a speech swing through Europe and writing a series of books, he came back bored, energized, and frustrated with Taft. In the end, he lost his battle with Republicans to regain the nomination. Party leaders picked Taft in June of 1910. Roosevelt stormed out of the convention, his delegates right behind him.
You're listening to Matt Flynn Direct, a special edition thereof. I'm Todd Albaugh, filling in for Matt today. We're giving you a taste of a new podcast called Lost in the Middle on Civic Media's radio network. We'll come back with the final version of that, or the final part of that, after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt Flynn Direct on the Civic Media radio network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. Oh. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It doesn't always take acres and acres of ground to be a productive farmer. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Take, for example, the Hunger Task Force in southeast Wisconsin. They battle food insecurities across the state, and now they're using their 208-acre farm in Franklin to try to address food insecurity on their own. Sarah Bressler is the farm manager of about 100 tillable acres they used in 2023 to grow some of the food they share with others. And despite the drought, it was a great year.
We were able to grow over 400,000 pounds with, like you said, those drought conditions. We had some record-breaking yields, specifically green beans grew over 23,000 pounds. Some of our other top-yielding crops that, you know, produced more than we actually projected were tomatoes. We grew over 15,000 pounds. Collard greens, which is the number one requested item in our food network sites, we grew over 20,000 pounds of those. Lettuce, over 15,000 pounds, and over 85,000 pounds of cabbage in 2023.
Sarah Bressler, the farm manager for the Hunger Task Force in southeast Wisconsin, says they really rely on volunteers to make sure that farm is productive, including volunteer farmers. They're managing that 208-acre farm in Franklin, courtesy of a 30-year lease with Milwaukee County.
This year, Dairyland Seed is introducing our best corn of all time. Again. That sound you just heard? That's the sound of a full lineup of top-performing hybrids bringing the yield like never before. It's the sound of even stronger traits bred specifically to boost corn bushels per acre in your soil. And it's the sound of workhorse corn seed proven to outperform yet again in independent head-to-head trials. See the latest corn performance data at showmethecornyield.com. That's showmethecornyield.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodensevet.com.
And we've got a holiday of sorts coming up this Friday, and Wisconsin's dairy industry hopes you plan to celebrate. Friday is National Pizza Day, and of course, a lot of those pizzas feature real Wisconsin cheese. Did you know over 3 billion pizzas are sold in the United States every year, and then add on another 1 billion frozen pizzas sold? That's a big deal. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild as high temperatures flirt with 40 degrees. We'll see more patchy dense fog building in tonight, and some areas may turn to freezing fog early tomorrow morning. We'll become partly sunny throughout the afternoon and mild once again as highs climb to the low 40s. Right now, it's 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, a special pre-recorded edition. Todd Allball filling in for Matt today in hour number one. A special pre-recorded edition of Matt Flynn in which we are giving you a taste of a new podcast that airs on Saturdays right here on Civic Media from 1 until 2, right after the Cripes cast with Charlie Behrens. It's called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. It is hosted by former Republican Congressman Scott Klug, who, of course, as we said at the top of the show, was a moderate. He was a pro-choice Republican. He voted in favor of the assault weapons ban. Still what Matt would call a principled conservative, but he has this new podcast called Lost in the Middle, which he explores folks that feel like they're being ignored. And this particular episode focuses on independence. And when we last left it, Scott was telling us about Teddy Roosevelt, who had walked out of the convention after not securing the Republican nomination on a second try after leaving office. Howard Taft got it, and Teddy Roosevelt walked out, and he is about to create the Bull Moose Party, so to speak. So here once again, Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug. You're listening to a special pre-recorded edition of Matt Flynn Direct.
Grown up with. He easily could have won again. Remember, there was no two-term rule at this time. Instead, he walked away and handed the White House to William Howard Taft, his handpicked successor. But after a two-year African trip, followed by a speech swing through Europe and writing a series of books, he came back bored, energized, and frustrated with Taft. In the end, he lost his battle with Republicans to regain the nomination. Party leaders picked Taft in June of 1910. Roosevelt stormed out of the convention, his delegates right behind him. Two months later in Chicago, the National Bull Moose Party, as it came to be called, rallied around Roosevelt. It was the first time in U.S. history a candidate came to a convention to give a speech, and it was a stem winder, Professor David Zarefsky.
His appearance set off a 58-minute-long demonstration of support and enthusiasm before he ever began to speak. He spoke for 2 hours. He was stopped for applause 145 times during the speech, the biggest applause line being when he came out in the speech in favor of woman suffrage.
You know, truth be told, I've been a Teddy Roosevelt fan my whole life. When I left Congress, term limit guy that I was, I rewarded myself for keeping my word by buying a letter that Roosevelt wrote to Mr. W.R. Kissin of New York. It was written in 1918, in the waning days of World War I. Here's what it reads. "You know, that's a mighty nice letter you wrote," starts Teddy. "Will you give my heartfelt thanks to your three gallant boys? You know, you and I have the same reason to feel so proud." All of Teddy Roosevelt's sons fought in World War I, and Quentin, who was a pilot, was killed in action. With three boys of my own, that letter still hangs in my home office. It's framed with a picture of Teddy Roosevelt walking out of the Milwaukee train station in February of 1912 on his way to a major campaign event. Not long after that picture was taken, he was shot. But his eyeglass case and a thick speech tucked in his coat saved his life. Undaunted, Roosevelt rushed to deliver a speech, and with the memorable line that it takes more than one bullet to kill a bull moose. But even that bravado, coupled with his legendary exploits, was not enough to carry him across the finish line. Roosevelt won a mere 6 states and 88 electoral votes. Taft won only 2. Wilson, with 47% of the vote, won 40 states and ended the most successful independent run in U.S. history.
From CBS Washington, in color, Face the Nation, a spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with George Wallace, former governor of Alabama and presidential candidate of the American Independent Party.
Governor, despite your own optimism about your chances, every poll, every indicator of national opinion shows that you yourself have no hope to win to the presidency. Your critics contend, therefore, that you're deliberately adopting the role of spoiler, that is, trying to throw the election into the House of Representatives. How would you answer that analysis?
Well, at least, Mr. Gronsky, we have critics, and they're paying attention to our movement.
As you've noticed in the papers in the last number of days, members of both parties have said we must join together to stop this movement headed by George Wallace. Of course, George Wallace is one individual, but I am speaking for many millions of people in our country. I might say that there are many polls that I win. I have won on television and radio.
That's Alabama Governor George Wallace on his surging 1968 campaign. The clip you're about to hear is not actually from my Wisconsin date from Hill, but it'll give you a flavor of the times. The protests against the Vietnam War were peaking. After Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, riots erupted in major cities around the country, and busing to desegregate schools was a flashpoint in the nation's suburbs. Protesters in a packed hall tried to shout Wallace down.
And when he was in California, a group of anarchists lay down in front of his automobile and threatened his personal safety, the President of the United States. Well, I want to tell you, if you'll elect me the President, and I go to California, or I come to Arkansas, and some of them lie down in front of my automobile, it'll be the last one they'll ever want to lie down in front of.
Here's Wallace historian Dan Carter.
He had a sense of what crowds, when he spoke to them, he had a sense of how they responded. And he saw there was a great deal of dissatisfaction.
George Wallace had first made a name for himself by fighting federal court orders to desegregate Alabama schools. But busing had become a major hot point in many northern cities, and the crowd he got that night in Milwaukee was typical.
Governor Wallace, is your real ambition to win the presidency, or is it to get enough votes to dictate who does go to the White House?
My real purpose in running for the presidency is to win, and to win outright on November 5th. And I think if you'll follow me around in the country and see the reception we're getting from one end of the country to the other, you can see that we have an excellent chance of winning the election on November 5th at the polls.
By now, the rules of the game had changed since the days of Teddy Roosevelt. A third-party candidate had to personally get on the ballot in all 50 states. One by one, tough, hand-to-hand combat. And Wallace did it with a strong network of local volunteers and a fundraising operation that was groundbreaking for its time.
One of the great achievements of Wallace was to get on the ballot in 50 states. You know, that was really almost unheard of, given the ballot restrictions in various states. California was a perfect example. They had to get 150,000 signatures. Can you imagine for George Wallace in California? They got 200,000.
In the clip from CBS Face the Nation we used to kick off the segment, Wallace bragged about his ability to win the White House. But the truth is, internally, his campaign had already pivoted, hoping to win enough votes to deadlock the Electoral College and play Republicans and Democrats off one another. Alan Lichtman again.
Wallace was smart. He knew he couldn't win, but what he had hoped to do was win enough states to deadlock the Electoral College, keep either Humphrey, the Democrat, or Nixon, the Republican, from winning an Electoral College majority. And then it would go to the House, with each state having one vote, and Wallace would be the kingmaker controlling the swing southern states. Didn't quite work out, but it was close.
Wallace was the last independent candidate to win states, five, all in the Deep South. But he came very close in North and South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. In 1972, he ran again, but this time in the Democratic primaries, and won three early states. But in February, George Wallace was shot at a rally in a Maryland suburb. Now paralyzed, he dropped out of the presidential race, but he did stay active in Alabama politics for another 20 years.
Number one, I will not run as either a Democrat or Republican, because I will not sell out to anybody but to the American people.
Wow, it's hard to forget that voice. That's Ross Perot on CNN in February of 1992. The wealthy Dallas businessman, with ears as big as his home state of Texas, had flirted with running for president for months. He was a fierce critic of George Bush and Bill Clinton and a zealot deficit hawk. Perot had been giving speeches around the country on the need to balance the budget, and there was a groundswell of support. Some Americans responded by urging him to run for president, and he turned around with his own challenge.
If you're that serious, you, the people, are that serious, you register me in 50 states. And if you're not willing to organize and do that, then this is all just talk.
Wait, stay with me, Larry. Are you
saying to the ordinary folks, and I don't want any
this
machine.
This is a draft, Ross Perot.
No. I'm not asking to be drafted. Okay. I'm saying to all these nice people that have written me and the letters, you know, filled cases. Now, if you're dead serious,
start
then
committees in
I
Florida,
want to see
Georgia.
Some sweat.
Astoundingly, it actually happened.
To be honest with you, the thing that most attracted me to that entire campaign was when I sat down with staff and volunteers and learned that unlike at a Republican or a Democratic meeting, nobody was there to get something.
Russ Ferney was a longtime New Hampshire Democratic campaign veteran who signed on with Perot.
They were all there to give something. You go to a Democratic Party meeting and somebody wants a contract, somebody wants an appointment, somebody wants an endorsement, somebody wants a donation. Same with Republican meetings. You go to a Perot meeting, he had nothing to give anybody. It was all about what can we do to make our country better? How can I serve?
Perot's campaign relied on half-hour TV programs that he personally paid for himself. Whatever is the opposite of slick, that's what it was. Perot was on camera with homemade charts, he actually made them, that looked like they were stolen from an eighth grade government class. But they got the point across. Here he is lambasting Bill Clinton's claim of an Arkansas economic miracle.
Let's come down to brass tacks now. On the economy, they rank last among the 50 states in median family income. Now, there's no place to go but up. That's the good news. On economy, Arkansas ranks last, it's 50th among the 50th states, in the hourly wages for manufacturing workers. Not much manufacturing work in Arkansas. Manufacturing wages are the high-paying wages, the jobs of the future.
The race quickly gained momentum, and Perot was the last independent candidate to make the cut for the presidential debate, where his folksy delivery put both George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton right back on their heels.
The dollar's gone through the floor. Now, whose fault is that? Not the Democrats, not the Republicans. Somewhere out there, there's an extraterrestrial that's doing this to us, I guess. And everybody says they take responsibility. Somebody somewhere has to take responsibility for this. Now, just for the record, I don't have any spin doctors. I don't have any speech writers. Probably shows. I make those charts you see on television even. That shows.
But the truth be told, in the end, Perot did have campaign consultants, but he wanted to win without getting his hands dirty. And he shockingly bowed out of the race in the summer, only to reemerge in the fall. But by then, both Bush and Clinton had relentlessly hammered away at the theme that a third-party candidate could never win. It was a wasted vote. Perot finished with 19%, but really didn't come close to winning a single state.
Well, you go back to the debates and you can see it. Both Bush and Clinton would constantly say, I agree with Mr. Perot, but he can't win. So no. Vote for me, I'm closer. It's a wasted vote if you vote for the third party. And that truly had an effect on the outcome of the election.
So let's pick up the no labels thread again. I think we pointed out that history suggests it faces the longest of long shots. Nobody's ever really come close to a successful run, even with a popular candidate, a sophisticated organization, or tapping into a swelling populist sentiment in the country. But someone does think it will be a serious threat in the 2024 elections. Democrats. Democrats are worried that no labels will cost Joe Biden the election. Here's an old friend, former Majority Leader Dick Gephardt.
They assert two things from their polling that Mark Penn has done. Their first assumption is that they can get 270 votes, electoral votes, for a no-labels candidate. So that's the first thing you have to test. And then they secondly say that if they don't get 270 votes, that they will take votes equally away from Trump and Biden. We tested all.
And we're listening to Matt Flynn Direct right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will wrap up this special episode of Matt Flynn with a look at Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans with Scott Klug after this. Don't go anywhere. It's Matt Flynn Direct on Civic Media. Because you're mine. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. I'm Todd Allball in for Matt today, a special pre-recorded edition without phone calls. Thought we'd take this opportunity to bring you a look at a new podcast on the weekends from 1 until 2 on Saturdays with former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug. Is called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. This episode entitled Independence, and Scott wrapping up this part where he's talking about the failed independent run of Ross Perot from 1992. We'll wrap up this edition of Lost in the Middle and then come back and wrap up this special edition of Matt Flynn Direct. Here is Scott Klug once again.
270 votes that they will take both equally away from Trump and Biden. We tested all of that by a reputable pollster, and it shows exactly the opposite. They cannot get 270 votes, and it will take more votes from Biden than Trump. In fact, it confirms that it would elect Trump. Now, there are at least 8 other polls that were done contemporaneously by other pollsters that show the same thing.
You know, as we've told you, the spoiler label has been used in the past to bludgeon independent candidates. Until his death, George H. Bush continued to blame Ross Perot for his election loss. Well, maybe. Here's the take of the political website 538 on the controversy. First, it's reporter John Kornacki, Bush strategist Mary Matlin, and her husband, Democratic strategist James Carville.
There is a myth out there that if you look back at 1992, well, Bill Clinton is only president because Ross Perot ran.
Ross Perot, absolutely, cost George H.W. Bush re-election in 92.
There is no evidence in political science that supports the fact that he cost anyone the election.
Here's Perot campaign manager Russ Verney one more time.
With respect to Perot, that's the Republican wine, and they need a wheel of cheese to go with it. There's no truth in it whatsoever. In fact, the polling from Voter Research Services that came out on exit polling was very clear that the results of the election would have been exactly the same had Perot not been in the race.
And then in 2000, it was the Democrats' turn. They pointed the finger at Ralph Nader for costing them a win in Florida, which handed George W. Bush the White House.
You know, in Florida, there were 10 presidential candidates on the ballot. In addition, Mr. Bush and Mr. Gore both had, they were 2 of the 10. All other 8 candidates got more than 537 votes, the amount of votes that separated Gore and Bush in the end.
You know, she's dead right. You could put the blame on any number of parties that got more than 537 votes in Florida that year. For example, the Natural Law Party got 2,300. The Workers' World Party, 1,800, and the Constitution Party, 1,300.
Everybody was more than 537. Are you saying that nobody can ever run except for the 2 major candidates? And what I don't like in the question is the implicit assumption that one of the 2 major parties deserves or is, you know, owns those votes. And it's always about a horse race and not about what kinds of ideas are we putting forward.
In the months ahead, No Labels not only faces external challenges, ballot access, and the presidential debate, but internally it has to figure out how it's even going to pick a candidate. Or if Biden or Trump bows out, does the ticket ever really happen?
Look, every 4 years you have the American people say, oh my God, we don't love what we have. We'd like something different. You know, the grass is always greener, right, on the other side. But when you're confronted with real choices and the fact that third party campaigns can't win, there really is no chance. You know, Joe Manchin running on No Labels, you know, my head is going to hit my desk here. You know, Cornel West, too obscure. Kennedy Jr., a nut. You know, there isn't a Ross Perot or a Teddy Roosevelt or a George Wallace out there.
In 2016, reporters and friends laughed at me when I said, watch out for Donald Trump. And believe me, I did not say that as a supporter. But if you live in the Midwest like I do, you could sort of feel it bubbling up. Right now, 70% of voters say they dread a Trump-Biden rematch. Good place to start if you're No Labels and an independent candidate. Next year, in a strange nod to history, the Democratic Convention will be back in Chicago, where they locked out George Wallace in 1968, and the Republicans in Milwaukee, where Teddy Roosevelt was shot. Not a lot of great karma for independent candidates. Hey, but if nothing else, politics in the U.S. is always unpredictable. You know, there's one great third-party success story. When some country lawyer got nominated for president in 1860, it was to run at the top of the ticket for a breakaway third party. Abraham Lincoln's Republican Party demolished the Whigs, which had been around for 40 years. If you're a fan of our podcast, you know we really don't try to make this a current news show. But in the No Labels case, we're going to have to make an exception. There'll be significant developments to come in the months ahead, a go-no-go decision, and deciding even on a ticket. As they say in old-fashioned radio, stay tuned. More to come. Here's the team behind Lost in the Middle. Executive producer Jeff Mayers. Producer Todd Elbaugh. Creative team Claudia Luz and Tony Wood. Edited by Aaron Zummers. Music by Brett William. Production at Civic Media. And a quick thanks to our partners at the American Property Owners Alliance.
There you go. One of the great episodes of a brand new podcast, great news show here on Civic Media on the weekends called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, with Scott Klug. Runs every Saturday from 1 until 2 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mrs. Somers, always a pleasure to work with Scott on that. And again, I think it's in the Matt Flynn vein of discussion, because he's talked about this on this show before. The independents are going to be a big part of what happens in 2024 presidential elections. And this need, even as a Democrat that he is, the need for a strong two-party system. But Trump is not the way to go. I mean, an authoritarian, fascist. You know, I know Matt said this. I agree. I mean, I'm all in on Joe Biden. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast, you can check it out on lostmiddle.com. Or anywhere else you get podcasts, really, you can find it. And tell your friends, have them listen to. I think it's a fun time. There's 6 episodes out right now, and there's going to be another one later this month.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, right here on Civic Media every Saturday now from 1 until 2. Always a pleasure filling in for my friend and colleague Matt Flynn. Stay tuned. Hour 2 of the program is coming up next. It's been a pleasure to be with you this hour. This is Matt Flynn Direct on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cradled by 2 loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and Felina. Goodbye.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street. This is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger.